right, here. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained a like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love.
Thank you, Chris. Man, that was good. Woo. I just want to mention that this section where it says, having escaped the corruption is in the world through lust, this week when I was reading, I was reminded, if you just want to make a little note to yourself to look up Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, I had put that as a little note in my Bible and I had overlooked that. As we're studying the scripture, it's just beautiful to see the message of Jesus throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And those truths that are eternal in both the Old and the New. One of the things that I want to mention is that most of us, when we read a list like this, these eight things that are mentioned, what we have a tendency to do is make a list. Or to try to address these things like a list, like tink, 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 tink. And that is not what I want us to do this morning. I don't want you to look at these things like they're human qualities that you need to address or you need to try to, like a self-help or a self-improvement approach. I want us to look at these qualities as like what the scripture says. These are gifts. These are great and precious promises. These are things that have been made available to us. And I want you to view these great and precious promises because of our belief in the sacrifice of God's Son. Father God sent his Son Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, to purchase and make these great things available to us. So what I do want to do is I want to go down through the qualities, but I also want to give you some different words for you to kind of compare so we're not just taking these words at face value. Faith. Faith is where it starts. Faith is a gift from God. I believe that every human on the planet has that seed of faith in them. It's what you do with it. God has placed that within in the heart of each and every man and woman. Faith. What is faith? It's trusting. It's believing. It's trust and belief. Virtue. What virtue is, when it's talking about here, is moral character or goodness. Moral character or goodness. Knowledge. Understanding or spiritual maturity. Self-control. It also means temperance or moderation. Perseverance. Patiently persisting. Godliness. Literally, taking on the character traits of God. Whoa. Brotherly kindness. It's love for Christian brothers and sisters. Love here is agape, affection, goodwill, benevolence, or love. Now, what I want to mention here is this is not a sequential list of attributes to master one right after the other. What these qualities are, and if you look at this, this reflects the very nature of God. This is God being talked about, his character, and Peter saying, hey, listen, guys, I'm just telling you, this is what I've learned in my struggle over the last many years. These are from God, and they can be part of us, but there's something that has to take place. There's something that has to happen. So I don't want you to look at this as a sequential list, because I'm telling you right now, it's kind of like this spider web. All of these things can be happening at the same time on varying levels because they're all interconnected. You're going through difficult times and you want to say or think certain things, but you're pressing into God and you're like, God, I need your help with self-control. Self-control is you're learning how to not say what you want to say, and you're learning how to be quiet, and then you say other things that maybe you don't want to say because they're kind and encouraging. What happens in that process is you develop perseverance, and in the process of developing perseverance, all of a sudden you've got a little bit of this kindness toward other people that you're kind of shocked at and you're surprised by. And then what it does is it presses in and you're like, God, I need your help. I believe in you. Continue to help my unbelief. So they can all be taking place simultaneously. Let me read J.B. Phillips in the New Testament, verse 5-7. Please hear what he says. For this very reason, you must do your utmost from your side and see that your faith carries with it real goodness of life. Your goodness must be accompanied by knowledge, your knowledge by self-control, your self-control by the ability to endure. Your endurance, too, must always be accompanied by devotion to God. That, in turn, must have in it the quality of brotherliness, and your brotherliness must lead on to Christian love. There's two phrases that are primarily used in most of our versions when we're studying this verse. It's the phrase, giving all diligence. I want you to think diligence or earnestness, to interest oneself most earnestly, or the other phrase is to make every effort. So think about that, giving all the diligence or make every effort. Eugene Peterson says it like this. Listen to what he says. Don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. Do you feel something there? Eugene Peterson says, don't waste any time. Don't lose a minute. It often seems that we view certain words in a negative context. What I mean by that, what I'm going to say, is I am constantly encouraging people to use their stubborn hard-headedness with God and for God. Now, I'm super proud of our church family. I'm just going to let you know. I'm super proud of you. Most of you are stubborn and hard-headed. Okay? It's okay to laugh at yourself. All I got to do is talk to somebody close to you or a spouse, and within 90 seconds, they're going to hang you out to dry. Most people can't contain their body language enough to cover this over. You certainly make them... But I love that, because here's the problem in our society. Most of the time when we hear stubborn or hard-headed, we take it in a negative context. And absolutely, if you do some research, 85, 90, 95% of the connotations for stubbornness have to do with a negative response or something negative. And I'm just letting you know, I'm not going to go into the definitions because of time this morning, but if you look at the definition of stubbornness, and if you look at what it means to be stubborn, there is a positive quality about that. And so some of you, what I say to you privately, take that stubborn hard-headedness and use it for your good and for the glory of God. Because some of you got stupid figured out real well. Judy, I didn't say your name. Her response was over the top. You could hear her back there in the back. Oh my goodness, did you say that? I didn't say your name. I wasn't thinking of you. I love you, Judy. Huh? The guilty respond first. Okay. Hey, that was Woody. I didn't say that. It just kind of fits with the whole morning, don't you think? But what I'm trying to say is, I love that sermon. Most of the men in our church family, man, I so appreciate you guys. Man, there's a commonality. Hey, we got a brother that needs help. We're going to help him on Thursday night. We have 40 men come and help, sacrifice, involved. Now find out 3 weeks later, somebody's been struggling. I'm like, why didn't you let us know? Well, I took care of it on my own. That's how I broke my leg. But I love that too, because of the heart. And so what I'm trying to encourage you with this morning is that whether you understand it or not, this scripture, in my mind, when I'm looking and studying this scripture, we are being called to be stubborn and relentless and hard-headed with God for His glory. Because if you look at the saints and the heroes in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, they were stubborn and tenacious people. And some of you, older people, like you fit into my category, you're used to things being easy. And I'm telling you right now, our society is quickly changing. We want a reviving. We want an awakening. We're praying for that. We're trying to be a part of that movement. But right now, if you're looking for a tasty cake, comfortable, easy path, it's not Christianity. Because for you to stand up and let your light shine, you've got to be relentless. So let me read a couple other words. And let me just say this before I read this. I'm constantly challenging people to change how they apply their stubborn quality. I want it to be positive. I'm asking people regularly, apply it for positive, not negative. Apply it toward wisdom and godliness, not sin and stupid. Some of you have been doing that long enough. Use your stubborn hard-headedness for wisdom and godliness. Apply it to helping, not hurting. Be stubborn about being a blessing and helping people. Be stubborn for pursuing God, not serving your own selfish interest. Being stubborn can be a good thing. Being stubborn can be a bad thing. You know what the difference is? It all depends on how you use it. So let me give you a couple other words. I know some of you are going to get stuck and hung up on stubborn and hard-headed. Let me give you a couple other words. All these are adjectives, by the way. Stubborn is an adjective, relentless is an adjective, and tenacious is an adjective. Relentless. What does it mean to be relentless? Showing or promising no abatement. You can Google that word real quick, abatement. It means no stopping, no changing, no relenting. No abatement of severity, intensity, strength, or pace. Guess how I want to die? How do you think I want to die? Ethan, how do you think I want to die? Wide open. What? Yeah! My kids will be like, well, he lasted longer than I thought he would. I'm being dead serious. Tenacious. What does it mean to be tenacious? I love you too, Denise. She's just over there going, What does it mean to be tenacious? Persistent in maintaining, adhering to, or seeking something valued or desired. I had a number of questions. What are the trophies for? Told one person they just wound up here. I don't know. This is what I want you to think about. Because what we've done in a lot of Christian stuff is we made like these eight qualities, we've almost made them like trophies. And I know that these trophies were earned. A friend of ours helped launch this church family. But what typically happens is we view them as something accomplished. So when we're reading these eight attributes here, these eight qualities, these eight reflections here of God that we're supposed to embrace, we can just look and say, oh yeah, God accomplished those for us through Jesus. That's good. That's cool. And almost like we just put them on a shelf and we look at them and we can if we're talking to somebody, we can evaluate the quality and we can have all kinds of information about it. And then it's so great because we put it back on our safe little shelf. And then we walk by and we look at it and go, oh yeah, I remember that. That's cool. Isn't that good? And so what we're talking about this morning, I don't care about these things being trophies. What I care about is these attributes actually being tools that we incorporate into our lives, and we're building ourselves up with these attributes, and we're building up other people for the glory of God and the good news of the gospel. You get what I'm saying? So these are my tools. I picked out 8 tools I'm going to use. Some of you that are plumbers, electricians, some of you that work on other things. If you primarily work on metal roofing, if you primarily work on composition shingles, you're going to have your favorite go-to tools. Mine, some of you would ask, this is money right here. If you've never used one of these, no, you can borrow mine, but you can't have it. Okay? This is money right here. You can do 37 different things with that. Okay? And in any tool thing, this just makes the tool bag, that's all you got to hear. It's good. You know what I'm saying? Different tips, drill bits, all that kind of stuff. That's cool. But these tools are made to be used. What I love is I love the difference between an agrarian rural culture and the way tools are used daily versus a suburban or urban area. What I love is I go into some of these guys' garages and it looks like the dude was hanging out on Pinterest. Okay? I know some guys, they sneak around, they're hanging out on Pinterest. Okay? And they get their little private storyboard for how the tools are arranged in the garage. And you, huh? Somebody told me. So you walk in and it's like, man, those tools are perfectly arranged. Somebody spent some jack on that wall and they've got these black cabinets and everything's laid out. No offense, Larry. Anyway. You can go visit Larry's garage. Anyway, that's another thing. So anyway, what I love is usually those tools are, I don't want to say usually, but I've met a lot of guys that those tools hang on the wall until their wife comes to get them to make a repair somewhere. Okay? But we're not going to talk about that. That's a totally different subject matter. What I love is that, like, around here, ain't no tools hanging up on the wall. You got guys that are like, no, I know I got that in here somewhere. And they're digging through their tool bag, and they're like, I know it's in here somewhere. Why? Because, I love the way she just turned it to you and grinned. That's all she did. Because what it is these tools are functional, and they're being used, and they're carried with. Some guys, I get a kick out of, we got guys in this church family, man, the back of their trucks, their toolbox, man, they're looking for it. No, I got that. We're on the job site. They're like, no, I know I got that. Stuff is piled all around the truck. 20 minutes later, I found it. Dude, it was a drill bit. I could have gone down to Cardinal and got one. Okay? You know what I'm saying? But this is the point. These attributes are from God for us. And we have to embrace these by faith. These are not trophies. Do we just adorn or we get together in a group and we talk about? But these are supposed to be things that are from God that we are. Are you praying about these attributes? That's what I've been doing. I've been asking God for help in my life to embrace these and live these out because I go through periods where I get a little lazy and I'm not tenacious and I'm not relentless and I'm not pushing in and I'm being stubborn and hard-headed against God, not with God. Can you imagine if this church family, let's just say 50% of this church family said, I am going to be relentless and I'm going to be tenacious and I'm going to be hard-headed in my pursuit of God. God, I want all that you have for me. I want you all over my life and I want to be the person that you want me to be and I want to share it and spread it with other people. What in the world would happen all over this region? What would happen globally? And when you read this scripture and read what it says, all diligence. I don't see a caveat for laziness in there. Well, I'm a little busy. I got a lot going on. You know, our kids are growing up and I'm an Uber service. We know what that feels like. It's called life in our culture. Take all of that stuff, you bring it to God and you say, God, show me how in my current situation in life, how can I be relentless in my pursuit of you? God, I want you to change me from the inside out. And this is what I want to leave you with. This is my expectation of this church family. This is my expectation of me. I know that I can be stubborn and hard-headed. You don't need to ask my wife. Okay, don't even look at her right now because she's trying really hard. You're supposed to be trying really hard. Okay. Try harder. But I'm just saying, I want to be stubborn and hard-headed. I want to be tenacious. I want to be relentless in my pursuit of God and in my pursuit of believing that you too, that we together can be tenacious with God, not against God. There's enough people out there. Let's press in and let's encourage one another. Let's be tenacious with God. Let's be tenacious with God. But it's my choice personally, just like it's your choice. Let's stand. Let's sing one more song.